Hello, this is Dr. Mark Rohde with a podcast on narcissism. This is going to be tricky because I'm going to attempt to objectively deal with the personality traits associated with narcissism from the perspective of those identified as narcissistic as well as those in relationships with them. First, what is it? People with narcissistic traits tend to like themselves a lot. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with having a positive impression of yourself, but the narcissist takes it to self-sabotaging extremes. They tend to be leaders, or they seek leadership anyway. They tend to enjoy having positions of authority and are likely to see themselves as superior to their peers. There's usually a sense of arrogance, self-absorption. They tend to lack a capacity for empathy. And they have a hard time seeing the world from the perspective of others. Often, individuals with narcissistic inclinations tend to display a sense of entitlement and show a willingness to exploit other people. Individuals with an unhealthy dose of narcissism often blame others rather than accept responsibility for things they've clearly done. They have little capacity for mutually rewarding relationships and tend to become incredibly angry in the face of criticism. Narcissists tend to be drawn to those who appear to admire them while detesting, sometimes even victimizing, those who try to hold them accountable. Narcissistic traits show up in males and females, but in studies that have been done, men tend to show more of these traits than females. It affects young and old, and seems to know no racial, religious, or ethnic boundary. When these traits are displayed to an extreme degree, they may cross the boundary into a psychiatric illness. But please, don't try to diagnose someone based upon this podcast. So where do the more challenging forms of narcissism come from? There's a lot of theories about this one. Some research and theorists suggest that there's a genetic component to narcissistic traits. And they would point out a relationship between parents with narcissistic tendencies and children or adolescents with those same traits. But others would suggest this is proof positive that these traits are learned from parents who probably demonstrate a lack of empathy, exploitive behavior, a cold demeanor, dishonesty, egocentric conduct, and arrogance. My own guess is that narcissistic inclinations probably stem from a combination of genetic and environmental factors. Some writers on the subject of narcissism point out that parents who provide positive modeling by admitting to mistakes, sharing in success and failure, showing concern for the welfare of others, and demonstrate ethical conduct aren't as likely to have children with the traits that we're talking about today. There is some belief that narcissism is associated with challenges with socialization early in life and in poor interpersonal relations. In adulthood, many with narcissistic traits want to control the circumstances so they don't continue to feel ill at ease. Those controlling tendencies, however, tend to alienate those around them, and they end up feeling worse rather than better. Too often this dynamic becomes cyclic, and things just seem to get worse and worse. If you've recognized quite a few of the traits that point to narcissism in yourself, and there are problems in your relationships with others, my first reaction is absolute admiration. Now, I say admiration because those with significant narcissistic tendencies often can't admit, even to themselves, that there is a problem. You may want to start by reviewing the first part of the podcast again, and then writing down the traits that apply to you, and also writing down the challenges that you've had with relationships. You'll probably want to work with a psychologist or other therapist who has expertise with narcissistic difficulties. It's apt to be helpful to learn how to better understand the connections between your own background, your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. It's highly probable that a number of challenging relationship problems are the result of your life experience and the thoughts you've had about those experiences. With the help of a therapist, you're likely to learn what drives your sense of competition, the distrust that may be experienced in relationships, and the dissatisfaction that you're likely to have with yourself and others. You'll likely learn about self-regulation, ways of dealing with dissatisfaction, and options for improving your self-care. At some point in the process of psychotherapy, you may want to get involved with family or couples counseling to build or rebuild relationships that are honest, mutually rewarding, intimate, and long-lasting. I'd strongly suggest that you invite the people who love you to give you honest feedback, and please, please, just listen rather than defend yourself. Other techniques for self-care would include learning calming techniques like meditation, breathing exercises, yoga, or, this will sound weird, just give yourself a very tight 10-second hug. Don't think I'm crazy, just do it. To enhance your level of empathy, you may want to get involved with hands-on charity work. Try very hard to understand the perspective of the people you see at the charity, and continually strive to identify the emotions of the people with whom you interact. If that's not your thing, volunteer in an animal shelter, but examine the emotions of the other volunteers and the animals. Get yourself a list of emotions off the internet and get really good at being emotionally aware. With a better awareness that thoughts lead to feelings and feelings lead to behavior, consciously look for those connections in movies, in TV programs, or in interactions that you witness on the street. When you see some behavior that stands out to you, try to imagine what sparked the behavior, identify the emotion or emotions, and then try to make a guess about where the behavior will lead. You will want to look very carefully for the circumstances that trigger your own emotions, and then look for ways to either eliminate the trigger or cope with the emotion. It's called emotional regulation, and it absolutely can be learned. A counselor, therapist, or psychologist, or your recovery coach are apt to be helpful. Lastly, please, please, please understand that your narcissistic traits are apt to have become very, very difficult for your loved ones. Frankly, you may have to work very hard to rebuild some probably damaged relationships, and it may not work out. Let's give it a try. And be sure to reach out for some professional assistance sooner rather than later. Now, if you've been on the receiving end of a narcissistic partner for quite a while, you're probably fed up. It is likely that you were initially impressed with their charm, intelligence, and self-assuredness, and later you questioned why you tolerated the combination of anger, accusations, arrogance, criticism, insensitivity, lying, or exaggeration. A lot of partners in relationships with those having narcissism are especially frustrated with a constant sense of urgency that many narcissists have. You are likely to have questioned your own sanity because your partner has prompted doubts about your judgment. At times, you are likely to have felt overwhelmingly distressed, anxious, and at your wit's end. If you have children, you may have wondered about the impact of your partner's behavior on their welfare. If your partner's narcissism has developed to the point where you're in a great deal of distress, you probably need counseling for yourself. And if there's any hope of salvaging the relationship, your partner probably needs some long-term assistance. You are apt to need couples counseling at some point in the future to solidify the gains you've made in your own therapy. Without some serious intervention, you've got to think about either tolerating a lot of distress for a long time or getting out of the relationship. Here's a few self-care hints you may want to consider. Be sure to take care of your self-esteem. It is apt to have become bruised, and it may need rebuilding. Understand that the self-esteem of a narcissist may also be pretty weak, and that may explain their tendency to blame things on you. Try to understand that your narcissistic partner isn't trying to act out against you. They just haven't developed the capacity for comprehending the emotional needs of others. In a sense, it's almost like having autism. Don't expect your partner to understand your feelings or be sensitive to the children's feelings. Your partner probably can't give you what they don't have, so don't expect it. Some people with narcissism tend to be highly manipulative. Don't expect fairness. They may not have experienced fairness in their early life. It simply may not be in their vocabulary. If your partner has a lot of put-downs for you, Ignore it. It's their problem, not yours. If your partner doesn't ask about your day, your health, or your interest, don't expect it. It's all about them. If you make a deal with your partner, expect they will hold you accountable, but don't expect them to be accountable. Be prepared for your partner to spin any story to their advantage. Just don't let it drive you crazy. Work on your own coping skills. Your therapist can really help. If your partner deserves a compliment, don't hold back. But be a bit cautious if you express appreciation for another person in front of them. Understand that narcissists often don't get jokes, because most humor is based upon interpersonal connectedness that they may simply lack. Don't expect an apology, ever. Be cautious in discussing your accomplishments, as it may threaten your partner's self-esteem. You probably shouldn't expect your partner to share information that you need to deal with many normal family events, because they may not have developed a capacity for understanding many of your needs, not just the emotional ones. You can probably expect to be manipulated, and you can fully expect to be angry with yourself when you fall for the manipulative behavior. It's just part of the territory. While it's certainly true that many narcissists can demonstrate rage, most are not violent. Be cautious, however, if your partner works to isolate you from your friends and family, if they are particularly possessive and controlling, if the verbal abuse becomes constant, and especially if they attempt to exert undue control over your finances. Please don't try to do this alone. A Codependents Anonymous group may be very helpful. A solid sponsor is a must, a therapist is probably essential, and your friends will likely be lifesavers. Be clear with your partner that there are limits to your patience, and while you care for them, you need to take care of yourself, and perhaps care for your children. I hope this works for you and works well. If not, look for the exit. Please reach out for your recovery coach for additional ideas, feedback, and resources. Till next time, bye.